Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
Hey, hey,
hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Sal's going to join us here and brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Good morning, Sal. Hopefully you had a wonderful Thanksgiving with your family. How are you this morning?
Pretty good. I did. Hopefully you guys all did as well.
Got some leftovers for today?
Oh, yeah, plenty. I mean, normally we go out, you know, go to some family. We just did our thing this year, just the three of us, so there's plenty of food left over, let's just say that.
Very nice, very good, very good. So the Bills did not practice yesterday, but they put out a projected or estimated, I guess, injury report. Let's start there. The Bills injury report is brought to you by Univera Healthcare. Compare because you care at univeraforbusiness.com. What do you got?
Yeah, it's no change except for one player from Wednesday, and that was Mario Addison, because he had a rest day. So he went from did not practice to practicing, even though they actually didn't practice, if that makes sense. So like you said, it's an estimation. But everything that was Wednesday is the same, because it was an estimation, and you know they're just going to go basically on what happened on Wednesday. I should say there was one other, and that was Jerry Hughes, because same thing. Jerry usually gets a day where he is either a rest or a little limited. His back, he was a full participant. Nothing to worry about there. The only one you're really concerned about at this point is John Brown. Mm-hmm. John Brown has an ankle injury, did not practice 2 days in a row. If they would have been out there, they estimate he would not have practiced. And then today's a big day. We'll see. You can ask Sean McDermott when you have him on today. And then, you know, we'll see at practice as well if he's out there. But lots of guys full, which is good, meaning Tywan Jones, Dawson Knox, and Josh Norman, who are listed on the report. The one thing that I think that's most notable for me, other than John Brown, is Josh Allen is no longer on the Bills injury report.
Oh,
he
so
had
the
been
shoulder
with a
must be
left shoulder since week four. Yep, every single day. This week he is no longer, which I think is really good.
I wasn't, you know, it's funny because he kept playing. I wasn't typically tracking that each week on the injury report to see him listed there all the time. Good.
Yeah, he was on it every day, except he's no longer on it.
Yeah, the Brown thing makes me nervous, Sal, coming out of the bye week and the fact that he's still not practicing, because we know how important, how critical he is to the success of this football team.
Yeah, and, you know, it's something he's been dealing with. He's been dealing with injuries this year, ankle injury, knee injury. He's listed officially this week as an ankle, but we all saw that play in Arizona where he kind of got both his knee and his ankle caught under him. You know, so we'll see. Somebody asked me yesterday, well, why don't they just put him on IR if he can't practice yet? Well, the answer is maybe they feel he'll be back next week or the week after. You put him on IR, he's got to miss three games minimum. You know, if they have to miss one more game, then, you know, you do. But if you think he's going to be back before three games, then you don't put him on IR. So that's why they haven't yet. But they still could, of course. We could get to before tomorrow by 4 p.m. You know, they could do that, make a transaction. We'll see. He could still play this week, but he's clearly hasn't been the same, and maybe it's just a point where they want to give him a couple extra weeks here, maybe a week extra. You know, they had last week, maybe another week. So, you know, we'll see what winds up happening there. And then for the Chargers guys on their injury report, I think it's pretty notable. They're missing some key defensive players. Mm-hmm. Casey Hayward Jr. is a starting corner, has not practiced for two. Now, they did practice yesterday because Anthony Lynn did his conference call with the Buffalo media. I was on it yesterday at 9:45 a.m., which was 6:45 their time on Thanksgiving. So they were out there, and he said the guys are at the facility, they're ready to go out. And part of the reason they practiced yesterday is because they're traveling to Buffalo today to get ready with their, you know, body clocks and things like that. But Casey Hayward Jr., starting corner. Starting defensive end, Melvin Ingram Jr. opposite Joey Bosa. Melvin Ingram III, excuse me. He has not practiced for two straight days. And neither has Uchenna Nwosu, who's also a backup defensive end, who started when Bosa was out. So basically, you can count him as a starter almost. That's three really significant players for them that have not practiced for two straight days.
Let's see, where do I want to start? I'll tell you what, let's go big picture, Sal. The bye week, the self-scouting. I mean, the Bills are in good shape. They're 7-3. They're leading the division. But there are still questions about the Bills and some areas that need to be addressed. In your mind, is there a top, maybe your top two or three questions that you have going forward, coming out of the bye with them?
Yeah, I think what's going on with Mitch Morse in the offensive line, I think, you know, that's a very big question at this point. Is he going to start? Is he going to play? Play center, obviously. Sean McDermott was asked about it the other day in his conference call with the media, and he said he's in the mix, which is interesting. Would not commit to him starting or not starting. I think that's a big one. Now, let's say you do get Mitch Morse starting at center, and you're like, okay, well, here we go. I mean, whatever the reason was last time, he's out there. So now you move on, and that kind of becomes a non-issue anymore, I guess, if that's the case. But it's still wondering about the offensive line and the pieces and where they all fit and things like that. The run game is an issue. It's not something, to me, as I've said, I don't need them to run the ball more, obviously, just a little bit better. And not even significantly better. I think just a little bit better. They've been pretty good at times. Just overall, they're just not consistently good enough in the run game. They've had a couple of games here or there where you're like, okay, it seems like it's starting to come together. I think that's a big one. And then on the defensive side, just the consistency. I'm very encouraged by the last few weeks. You know, things are look like they're starting to come together. Like, guys are feels like they're more in the right spots and making the right plays and things like that. I feel like it's coming together a little bit more on defense, but I think you still need to have a little bit more, take another step up, make a few extra big plays, and be a little more consistent.
To your point about the running game, I know it isn't just about him, but this is the way I'm going to phrase the question. What's happened with Devin Singletary? He's down a full yard per carry from last year, 5.1 to 4.1. In the last two games, Zach Moss, granted they hardly ran anybody against Seattle, but the last two games, Moss has had more snaps and more carries than Singletary.
So are you asking more along the lines of
what's going on with Devin?
He's not, I mean, are you seeing something? Are you seeing?
Does he look different to you? Does he look? I know, because when we talk about the running game struggling, all right, it isn't just the running backs. I know that it's offensive line. It's, you know, there's a whole bunch of issues that go with that. But for his stats to be down significantly, and now his carries and snaps are dropping, do you notice anything wrong with him in particular?
I don't notice anything wrong necessarily. I think it's a big, just big puzzle.
Yeah,
I think it's the entire running game. I think to blame, not that you're doing this, I think don't make a mistake for anybody to say the run game is on one guy.
Right.
It's on one,
yeah, and that's
guy,
why I preface it's on, the
or it's on,
question.
Or it's
yeah.
on one person on the offensive line, or it's on. Mm-hmm. I think that this is an issue for the entire offense. It seems like they're one block away a lot. It seems like it's not. Their timing is not right a lot of times. I think a lot last year it seemed like Devin Singletary was, you know, there right at the right time. The hole opened up, boom, he's got a lot of space. You know, and they've had a few of those this year. Now, as far as his, you know, touches, I think we all kind of knew this was going to happen when they drafted Zach Moss in the third round, which is this is going to be more of a running back by committee, you know, and we'll see. And I think Devin's still a very big part of what they, you know, I don't think they're going away from Devin Singletary to phase him out necessarily. I think what they're doing is just basically saying we have two running backs we really like. They're both young. You know, they both have futures here. We're not going to use them up. We're going to keep going the way we are with them, and whichever one we need to give at a certain time. And, you know, I think it seems like as the game goes on, Zach becomes more of the guy. He's on the field more in the fourth quarter, it seems like. He's getting more of those, you know, important carries and touches. But as far as the overall run game, like I said, I think the one thing people need to not do is to blame it, so to speak, on any one particular individual or one thing. I think there's a bunch going on.
Yeah.
Some of it's consistency with the personnel up front.
Right.
I think there's a timing issue going on. I've said this a while. I think part of it is the offense they run. You know, this isn't Josh gets it, hands it, and they go. You know, they're not just going forward and everything's just right there. It's a lot of reading and hesitation every once in a while because of that. And I think that can really mess up some of the timing that's going on.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, I think just up front, Sal, you know, you brought up Mitch Morse. I think that's a huge storyline going into this game. Is he going to be playing or not? And if he isn't, and he's healthy, what the heck happened? But I also think, I mean, we know they haven't got what we thought were the five guys they would want up front. And even beyond that, the continuity issue. They've had five different offensive line combinations in 10 games. That's not good. I mean, that's really – now, it hasn't been a big problem for the passing game. It's not like Josh Allen has been constantly under pressure and running for his life. But for whatever reason, maybe those, you know, changes up front have just contributed to the fact that it just hasn't worked for the ground game for some reason. And they don't use – you know, they rarely use two tight end sets. They don't really use – they don't really have a fullback. I mean, maybe Reggie Gilliam might be an H-back. But I guess it's a number of things, like you said, contributing to this.
Yeah, I don't want to see him use a fullback necessarily, right? Not that
I'm no, and I'm not saying either, they need a fullback, right? No, I'm not
sure.
But I mean,
sure,
DeMarco was out, you know, so they don't even have him.
Yeah, and look, this could be a game where they, some of the numbers suggest that, you know, the Chargers, you can run on them a little bit. They're averaging 4.65 yards per play on the ground against them. That's pretty bad. That's near the bottom in the NFL. It's actually, what are the Bills actually? Let me look at theirs real quick. Bills are actually right behind them at 4.82. So both these teams are giving up a lot of yards per play on the ground. We've seen how that can, you know, that can affect the defense, and the Bills have gotten gashed a few times here or there. But I think this is also a game where you might come out going, okay, well, we still don't know anything about the run game, because to be honest with you guys, like, I don't know how they're going to get to Josh. They're already
very
good at getting to the quarterback, the Chargers. They're in the bottom third of the league in sacks per pass attempt on defense, and now they're missing a couple of really significant defensive ends that practice a couple of days. So, you know, Josh might have a bunch of time back there, and if that's the case, we've seen what he can do and how he can carve up a defense. So, you know, if that's going to happen, then let's wait another week to find out about the run game, because I want to see that happen with Josh Allen. But we'll see, because they do have this is not a great defense, the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they get into high-scoring games, and they even the Jets last week put points on them. So we'll see what the Bills can do. They might have some opportunities in the run game. I'm very interested after Sean McDermott came out of the bye, and he said they really took a deep dive at a lot of things. The run game was one of them, and one of the things he said was, you know, we think we have a good plan going forward, and I'm interested now what that plan is.
But you know what you mentioned? Well, a couple things with the passing game. Right, and I – when we talk about the run game, I don't think anybody's talking about a complete identity shift. You know, right. Lake effect snow is coming. You got to run 40 times a game. I'm not talking about that. It's just, hey, handful of times when you're going to run, please be more effective. But if you look at this game, Sal, you mentioned, right, one of their starting corners has not been practicing. Their best player in the secondary is out this year. Right? I assume that'd be Derwin James. Mm-hmm. So it's not a great secondary. And the identity of the Bills is to throw the ball. I would think their matchups with Diggs, even if Brown doesn't play, Diggs, Beasley, Josh with that pass rush that you just documented, but the secondary, even when he's been playing, the story is that Casey Hayward Jr. has been having some rough stretches this season. You'd think they should be able to successfully throw the ball against that defense.
You would think so, and I think that's what the Bills should try to do, at least early on in the game. You know, I think back to the Rams game, the Seahawks game. You know, these are teams that come here from another conference. They haven't seen Josh necessarily. You know, it's not like they're watching tons of film on opponents that have played them. I know that you have some common opponents this year, right? I do think there's a little bit to the body clock thing of an early game, especially early on. I think there's, you know, you think about the Bills and how they were able to score points early against the Rams, score points early against the Seahawks. I think you jump on a team like the Chargers a little bit early. You spread the field, you throw it on them, you know, and that might give you, and they'll have some opportunities. And again, I think Josh, when he has time, he's been really good this year, and this suggests this game looks like, on paper right now at least, given the numbers, given their injuries, that the Bills might be able to, you know, give him some time. And if that's the case, we'll see. I'm looking at the run game, and, you know, one thing that's been missing, I think, is big runs. Now, I don't have all of them, but the biggest run for the Bills this year was at the very end of the Titans game when it didn't matter. It was like the last play. It was T.J. Yeldon for 34 yards. That was the biggest run for the Bills this year. That's the longest run they've had. Zach Moss has a 26-yarder. I think that was in the Jets game, the one that went off the left side there for a 26-yarder. I think that was it. Other than that, they have no other player that's had a 20-yarder. Like, Devin Singletary's longest run is 18 yards, and we haven't seen that. Last year, he was breaking off 25-yard runs, it seemed like, at least, right? There were chunks. He was averaging 5-6 yards a carry a lot. He's at 4.1 yards a carry. I think one of the things really missing here, you know, is the lack of the big run, getting it out into the second level and then, you know, taking off from there. And I'm not saying, we all know that Singletary and Moss, they're not burners. They're not guys who are going to be running away from people. But even that said, last year, Devin Singletary, he was able to get in space and bite off some big yards.
Sal with us on the Wester Hotline. Of course, he'll be on the sidelines. Are we still calling it the moat? Are you?
Sure, you can call it. I'll be in the moat.
He'll be in the moat. And at least weather-wise, Sal, you should be fine on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Upper 40s.
Another
cloudy.
Reason why I think the Bills should go out there and just, you know, let Josh cook, so to speak. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's going to be nice weather. We've seen what he can do in good weather, controlled environment, controlled conditions, 50 degrees and sunny with very minimal wind. I think that's perfect opportunity, you know, for Josh to go out there and sling it around.
Looks like a great football day. Yeah. 49 degrees.
Beautiful. And the winds aren't too bad. I think it was 10 to 20. So I don't know that it would be too bad.
I thought less I look was even less than that, but you're right. Maybe it could be, but that's a little breezy if it gets up to, you know, 20 mile an hour gusts, obviously. But I think it's going to be a good day for the Bills to put the ball in the air against this team.
Speaking of putting the ball in the air, I know he's trying to beat the Bills, but I got to tell you, I'm excited to see Justin Herbert. I'm really impressed by whenever I've seen this kid play. He looks really good. He's got a really strong arm. He throws a very nice deep ball. He looks pretty accurate. Good decision making. I think this is a really big challenge for the Bills defense on Sunday.
100%. I agree with you. I think, though, the thing you can take solace in is, or at least feel confident, the Bills secondary is still the strength of their defense. They've given up a few plays here or there, but by and large, you know, Jordan Poyer's having a fantastic year. We all know Tre'Davious White, how talented he is, and even Leslie Frazier has said that he's starting to play like and look like the Tre'Davious that they've come accustomed to. Micah Hyde is steady as they come back there, and you know they're getting healthy on the other side of Tre'Davious White, which is good. Whether that's Levi or Josh Norman, you're still missing Cam Lewis. Dane Jackson is still eligible to, I shouldn't say he's not eligible to be elevated, but you know if they wanted to sign him, they could bring him up. I don't know if I expect that anymore at this point because they'd have to create a roster spot. But you get the point. I mean, they have options now opposite Trey. And I agree with you about Justin Herbert. He has fantastic wide receivers, but it's not like they're just making him. He's making throws.
Yeah.
He's making throws. He looks really good. He pushes the ball down the field really well. He's a really nice deep ball thrower. I mean, 68% completion on the year, guys. 22 touchdowns against 6 interceptions. Those are really, really good numbers. And the other thing is he's had to do that because, again, their defense has not been that great. They've been in close games. They've been in some shootouts. They've had to rely on him. I like him a lot. Now, I'm interested to see what happens after this year. I always believe that you got to give a couple of years to really get a read on these guys, and we've seen it happen where, you know, players come out and you're like, wow, look at this guy, and then the league kind of catches up. They figure out some of the things that they're doing. But so far, so good in the rookie year here for Justin Herbert.
With the Bills secondary, Sal, at this point, does it look like both Norman and Wallace will be okay to play Sunday?
I think so, yeah. I mean, let's go back to what the injury report was for Josh Norman. Let me go back.
He was full, right? He was listed yesterday.
I mean, I just want to see. He's actually listed. He is listed. Illness. Yeah. That's what it was. Illness. So it's not a – wasn't even a – but you know what? He had also just come off the COVID list.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a full participant. So, yes, I think at this point we're looking at both those guys being ready to go.
So what would you do? What do you think the plan is at cornerback two? Do you think – is there one guy that's ahead of the other? Do they rotate? How do you think that would play out if they're both good to go?
Well, I think Levi Wallace has to still start until you're confident Josh Norman can go in there, start, put in a full type of game work, right? I mean, he hasn't even really played that much this year. And I think Levi's been, sure, still he gets beat once in a while, but I still think Levi has been, good enough to show that he can, play and be reliable, especially as a number two. You don't want these guys being your number one corner. But to me, and then you put Josh Norman in situations or you rotate them a little bit. But to me, it's got to be Levi Wallace until you at least know that Josh Norman can be on the field, play enough and help you enough.
Whenever, and I don't have numbers in front of me to tell you how often Keenan Allen is in the slot. But when he is, what about, I would assume it's Taron Johnson. What about that matchup or the issues in general of the Bills trying to cover Allen? He's having a phenomenal season.
I'm interested in this matchup more so from not just the slot, but is Tre'Davious White going to follow him, right, when he's on the outside? They're going to move him around probably, like you said. And, Trey's followed a little bit this year, but the Bills have pretty much set a lot of times just kind of stayed where they are, keep him on the left. And he's played on the right side as well, but they seem like they mix up a lot of their coverages and personnel and matchups. So, we'll see. And it's not like Keenan Allen's the only guy they have. They have good receivers. And sure, he's amazing. We'll see. But Mike Williams, obviously, really good. He's He's somebody that they'll look to in the passing game. And when he is in the slot, then Terrence just got to step up. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. You're not going to make a whole bunch of personnel changes just to, you know, do that. Now, maybe once in a while, maybe there's a key third down and you see a guy like Tre'Davious White line up there. You know, I mean, it's not normal, but you could do things like that. But to me, it's about, you know, making sure. You know, the Bills' philosophy on defense against the pass for 3 years into 4 years has been keep everything in front of you. Don't allow big plays. Come up and tackle players. And I would expect the same thing here. Like, Keenan Allen last week had 19 targets, 16 catches. Well, look, if you're going to go throw it to him 19 times, you don't want any catches. Just tackle him 19 times. I mean, that's really what it comes down to, right? I mean, I know it sounds simplistic for a lot of people, but it's true. I mean, that's the philosophy. If he's going to catch it, just tackle him. Make sure you don't have big plays and let him get behind you. No runs after catch and don't let him run by you. And he's not a burner. He's not a guy that's going to be, right, you know, beating you with top end speed, but he's really, really, really good route runner and smart.
You know, Sal, as you mentioned, just tackle a guy. I'm thinking back to the game yesterday, and you and I were tweeting about it, the Matthew Stafford play, the football move versus getting tackled. And I think there's a tie-in with watching Josh catch touchdown passes that, you know, now teams are throwing their quarterbacks. Not like the Bills invented it, but it made me think of a bunch of Josh catches because he's got a few, right? Or maybe a couple. Anyway, two touchdowns, yeah. On that, on the idea that, you know, the football move, a lot of people watch that game. What do you think is the right thing to do for the league there? Because surviving the ground, that's no longer a rule, right?
And I'm glad about that. I think that was one of the dumbest things ever. These guys were making catches down by contact, and the ball would come out. And you're like, wait a minute, but you're down by contact.
And
it's
right.
Just because to me, it never made sense, Jeremy, where the reason why it never made sense to me was there's no difference once you establish as a runner. Because if a runner is tackled and it comes out, he's down by contact.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if you're a catcher and you establish that you have possession, then you're down by contact. There should be no surviving the ground. No, a running back doesn't have to survive the ground. Why mm-hmm. should a wide receiver?
Right. So they got rid of that, and yet Stafford's catch was not a catch because he didn't make a football move, but he got tackled.
Tackled. And I tweeted yesterday, and you tweeted back. I said, hear me out. The football move is getting tackled.
Yeah.
What I mean is it's a football play. It's the play. That's the end result of the play. He's not actually making a football move by getting tackled. Of course not, who didn't get the nuance of it. Maybe I should have said football play, but he was tackled. That is a football play. Like anybody else, he had the ball. He caught it. It was against his body. He got tackled, and the ball came out. To me, again, I'll go back to what's the difference between that or a running back taking two steps and getting tackled?
Right. It's tough. I mean, those plays are always tough. And maybe the worst part of it is you know – your brain has been kind of warped over the years by football, trying to figure out what to catch, trying to change it. And we all know, I would like to say that we don't always know what a catch is, but we have a pretty good idea. And you're always in that spot where you're like, well, I think it's a catch, but I know it's not going to be a catch. You know, like football's always got us in that spot. And for that play with Stafford yesterday, that's what I thought. I thought, yeah, I mean, he caught it, but they're not going to count it. There was an interception from the Texans. Same thing. Guy caught it on a deflection. His elbow goes down. It hits the ground. He picks it up. I'm like, oh, okay, well, they're not going to count that as a catch, even though the guy definitely caught it. So, you know, the sport we love and the mental gymnastics we go through for it.
I know. I agree with you. And I was glad if you watched the Dallas game, they called Zeke down, but it was really a fumble. And then at least they allowed the fumble because I was afraid, okay, they saw this as a fumble, but they're going to say down by contact. At least in that situation, they let the play out, and then they said down, and then they reviewed it and said, no, he wasn't down, which was good. It was all the right call in that one. But, you know, how many times have we seen, yeah, well, it was a fumble, but we called him down. And I'm glad that they let that one play out as well. We're not nearly to the levels we were a couple of years ago about these catch issues, right? Remember when everything was going on, what is a catch? And I think the reason is, Jeremy, they eliminated the survive the ground thing. I really think that's a big deal why we're not at that place anymore.
Hey, before we let you go, do you want to predict the Bills blocking a punt on Sunday against the Chargers? We just talked about how they've had three punts blocked in the last five games. So I'm telling you, predict that.
They just fired their special teams coach, essentially.
Is that right?
Him, by the way.
Well, okay.
They reassigned him. Yes,
yeah, I mean, they haven't been good, so I guess I shouldn't be surprised for you to tell us that. So there you go. In your pregame with Murph, tell him, guys, watch for the Bills to block a punt today. And then Murph and Task will be, like, one, really impressed when they go, Sal, They blocked the punt. Like, oh, you know, Murph, I did my homework. So, you know.
Okay, I have not been. I have not been on a radio broadcast where they blocked punt while Steve Tasker's calling a game. I imagine if that happens during a game, he is going to. He's going to go crazy because it's like that's Tasker. Like, I mean, that's
that's good. Yeah, that's really funny.
You know, that's the junkyard dog getting unleashed, man.
That's good.
Come on,
yeah. Right.
Right.
That's funny. All right. Hey, we'll enjoy the game Sunday, and we will.
Did
talk
you guys
to you
see
Monday.
I was just on with you. Did you see? You might have already seen this, but I guess Toronto is planning on tearing down the Rogers Center and building a new ballpark for the Blue Jays. Jeremy.
I didn't see that.
Wow, I did
not
see that.
It just came over while I was on with you, so I figured I'd let you know. You can look at 680 News in Toronto is where I'm getting it. And I had to look to make sure it was a verified account. It is 680 News in Toronto. A plan reportedly in the works to tear down Rogers Center and build a new ballpark.
Wow.
For the Blue Jays.
How about that? Right,
would they do it in the same spot and just play somewhere else for a year?
Right here it says, sources tell the Globe and Mail a new natural grass baseball-focused stadium would take up the southern end of the current property with residential towers, office buildings, stores, and public space planned for the northern portion.
Wow. Okay.
I'm trying to see
where they put
it. Yeah. Nice. Well, it's a great location, you know.
Oh,
park
yeah.
downtown, walk right to the ballpark.
I mean, they have a place here in Buffalo that they just played in this past season. So.
Hey, they can play here again.
Yeah, why not?
Spend next season here. Are they trying to think where else could they play in Toronto?
It's not necessarily in the same spot. It says, while the ultimate goal is to keep it downtown, Rogers is also reported looking at some waterfront options as well.
Mm, interesting.
How about, is this, Jeremy, is this where you suggest the stadium that moves along the water?
Floating stadium,
yes.
Yeah.
Today, it's coming from Toronto. Well, we're going to travel down the lake, and we're going to, okay. All right, Mr. C, we will, I'm throwing off. It's Friday, right? We'll talk to you Monday.
Okay, guys, we'll talk to
Thank
you.
Thank you, Sal. Have a nice weekend.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.